Those of us who are Christians, we most certainly do have an anchor that keeps the soul. There are any number of bad things that can happen in this life. And those bad things can happen to even the best of people. But this anchor, this hope we have of eternal life, is the greatest stabilizing force you can possibly imagine. No matter what may happen to us in this life, no matter how strong the adversity may be, as Christians, if we are faithful to the Lord, we always have that to look forward to. And so we can learn to endure whatever difficulties we may face because of what the Lord has prepared for us. So that song, like so many others, ought to be so meaningful to us. The anchor we have that keeps our soul. The lesson tonight is entitled, If I Knew I Were Going to Die Tomorrow, What Would I Tell My Children Today? And so we are imagining tonight, I am imagining that I have received some news, some bad news concerning my health, and it's likely that I won't live another 24 hours. And so if I did have that sort of news, then what would I tell my children today? Here's the first thing. Forgive me for the sins I've committed against you. And I'm going to be presenting this as if I'm talking to my own children. Obviously, that would be a way that I would go about it, and of course, you choose how you would like to say it to your own. But I say, forgive me for the sins I've committed against you because of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. There may be things that you still have against me, as this passage describes. And so before I leave this earth, I want to be sure that I am forgiven by you of those things. And of course, most importantly, forgiven by God. I have tried hard, but I do know for sure that my example has been imperfect. I know I've said and done some things in your presence at various times that I sure would like to take back, and I tried to correct those things at that time. But if there is something that I haven't corrected, please tell me, because I want to be forgiven by you and by God. I know at times I've been too harsh. I know at other times I've been too soft. Again, my example has been imperfect. And so I would just say to you, please forgive me. And make it your aim to be a better parent than you've seen in me. I have no problem with you exceeding my efforts and doing even better than either I did or even that your mother did. So that's the first thing. Forgive me for the sins I've committed against you. The second thing, I love each and every one of you. And yes, as an aside here, we do need to say that sometimes. Okay? Yes, demonstration is very important, but we actually need to say that. So I want to say to my children, I love each and every one of you. When I think of all of you children, I think of John chapter 16 and verse 21, part of what Mark read to us earlier tonight. In John 16 and verse 21, Jesus says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. you ladies who have had children, you don't have to wonder what this passage is talking about. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish or joy that a human being has been born into the world. I know you ladies don't exactly completely forget the pain, okay? And I don't think Jesus is saying that. When he says forgets the anguish, he doesn't mean completely forgets. He's saying that that pain has been swallowed up by something else. That is, that a joy, the joy that a human being has been born into the world. And so I think about the times when each of you were born, and I can assure you that your mother and I rejoiced greatly at that time. But the feelings we had then were nothing compared to the day when each one of you were born again. We rejoiced when you were born, but we rejoiced even more when you were born again. And you know what I'm talking about by being born again. The new birth that Jesus described to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, that is to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I'm about to depart this life, so I am particularly struck by some of the things that Paul had to say when he was about to depart from this life. I want to talk to you about 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Paul, pretty close to his time of departure, says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." I'm looking forward to the same eternal reward that Paul speaks of here. I am looking forward to receiving that crown of righteousness which has been laid up for me. But I want you children to understand that you have been my reward here on this earth. You have been very instrumental in many occasions of joy that I've experienced here on this earth. Psalms 127 expresses some thoughts that I would like to convey to you. Psalms 127, beginning with verse 3. Psalms 127, beginning in verse 3. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." I certainly feel sorry for all of those parents who look upon their children as a burden. We have never looked upon you in that way. Sure, it's been hard. It's been difficult at times. But you are a blessing to us. Again, I'm looking forward to my eternal reward. But again, in many ways, you have been our reward here on this earth. And so I love you. And I've tried to demonstrate that love in a number of different ways. But when you think about me in the future, when you think about me after I'm gone, I hope that when you think about my love for you, that you'll remember more than anything else the love that I showed for your soul. I hope it will be apparent to you as you go forward that saving your souls meant more to us, really, than anything else. So, again, first of all, forgive me for the sins I've committed against you. Secondly, I love each and every one of you. Here's the third thing. Take really good care of your mother. Take really good care of her. When you get children of your own, you'll appreciate her even more than you do now. And there's a passage in 2 Corinthians 12 in verse 15 that I believe sums up your mother's efforts in regard to you. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. Paul says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." Your mother has always been willing to spend and be spent for your souls. You might say that she has worn herself out in looking out for your souls. Now, what I don't want to happen is what Paul is getting at in the latter part of this verse. Sometimes, the more abundantly you love some people, the less they love you. They show a lack of appreciation for all that's been done for them. May that never be true of any of you. Think about what she has done for you from the day of birth until now. And be ready to take really good care of her. I would like to believe that on many occasions she has made up for my deficiencies as a parent. When I didn't have the time, she did. When I was too soft, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, she was firm. On those occasions when I was too harsh, she provided the softer touch. And so, just think about the balance that she has helped provide this whole parenting thing throughout these years. Remember, I said to take care of her, and 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4 addresses that. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God." I want you to know that I have seen some children and grandchildren who showed piety everywhere but at home. And I don't want that to be the case with you, and I don't think it will be. Show piety at home. Repay your mother for all that she's done for you. That may be financial repayment. But even if she's able to take care of herself financially, there are so many other needs she will have going forward. And some of it may be just as simple as your companionship. You going to see her. You going to visit her. You calling her. You staying in touch with her. And so basically what I'm just saying is, whatever she needs,
you be prepared to take care of it. Number four, serve the Lord faithfully. And serve the Lord faithfully means daily. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus says as much. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, when you children read this same passage in other translations, you may notice that the daily is omitted. I'm not too disturbed by that, because I can show you a whole bunch of passages that make it crystal clear that faithful service means daily service. That you deny yourself and live for the Lord every single day of your life. Do you understand? Let me just ask you children. Do you understand why Jesus died for you? Now, there are several right answers to that question, several right answers that you can glean from the Scripture. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives really a very comprehensive reason. And I want you to really dwell on this. 2 Corinthians 5. Beginning with verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. In fact, we might just stop here and say that there is nothing more compelling than the love of Christ. Please, if you can, try to think of something that would be more compelling. And I think you'll come up with zero answers. The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. And here comes the purpose. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. I'm going to tell all of you children what's going to get in the way more than anything else as you go forward in your service to God. The thing that's going to get in the way the most is yourself. There are going to be too many times when you're going to want to do what you want to do. There are going to be times when you're looking out for number one more than you're looking out for the Lord and for His people. And when that happens, I want you to go back and think about the cross all over again. Think all over again about why Jesus died for you. And understand from that that you're not to spend really another day here on this earth living for yourself. If you can seriously and completely understand why He died for you, then you'll spend every day of the rest of your life living for Him. My prayer for you is the same as what John prayed for Gaius. Over in 3 John has the one chapter. If you look at verse 2. 3 John. Look there in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I pray today that you will enjoy good health going forward. I pray that to some degree your families will prosper materially going forward, that you'll be able to take care of your families and have the things that you need. But above all, I pray that your soul prospers.
And I say above all because of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 26. Matthew 16, in verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So what I'm saying is basically this. Whatever you may accomplish in this life, and you may accomplish a whole lot, whatever happiness you may find in this life, and you may be very, very happy, none of that success and none of that happiness means a single solitary thing if you lose your soul. All that success and all that happiness will be completely at naught. I mean, it will not mean anything if you lose your soul. And so, serve the Lord faithfully. And that means daily. Think about why He died for you and live for Him. Number 5. Keep your nose in God's Word. Keep your nose in God's Word. And here are just a couple of passages to encourage you in that direction. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Let's begin there. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want that right there to be true of each and every one of you. 1 Peter chapter 2 will also encourage you along these same lines. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think y'all probably already know this about me, but I know you know the first part. And I hope you know the second part, but I have been studying the Word of God very closely now for many years. And I have absolutely and completely fallen in love with it. And I want you to fall in love with it. I want you to fall in love with the Lord, but I also want you to fall in love with His Word. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, my time of departure is at hand. I shudder to think where I would be today without the guidance that I have received from God's Word. I shudder to think how totally unprepared I would be for this time of departure without the Word. And so, get your nose in God's Word, and you keep it there. Number 6, last one to talk about. Keep heaven in your sight at all times. It's where I plan on going, ultimately. And that's been my hope for each and every one of you since the day you were born. That's what your mother and I have both been longing for. That thought has never, ever been far from our minds, that we want each and every one of you to spend an eternity in heaven. I wish I could tell you that this time of sorrow that you're facing now with my departure will be your last. But it won't. And that's okay. And that's okay. Because these times of sorrow, like you're experiencing now and like you will experience in the future, these times of sorrow will make you long for a better place. It's a place that Jesus has prepared for you. He told His disciples that He was going away for now, but He was going to prepare a place for them. Well, He's prepared a place for you. It's a place where you will never die. It's a place where there will be no more pain and no more sorrow. So the sorrow that you feel at my departure and the sorrow that you experience in the future, you won't have to worry about that in heaven. This place called heaven is a place that needs no light. It needs no light. You know why? Because it is completely lit up by the glory of God. The glory of God illuminates this place. So just imagine how wonderful it will be. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing your praise than when we first began. How about that? When you've been in heaven for 10,000 years, you're just getting started. In fact, we could extend that on out, couldn't we? If you've been there for 1,000,000 years, you're just now getting started. Think of the best day you've ever had. Multiply that joy by 10 million. Is that enough, you think? And then imagine every day throughout eternity being just like that. And really, that's an analogy, an illustration that comes up far short, because when you talk about joy here on this earth, you can't even compare that to the joy in heaven. And so, keep heaven in your sight at all times. Here's one more thing. Just to add here at the end. At my funeral, please sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It just happens to be my favorite song, and it's based on the passage of Scripture, Galatians 6, in verse 14. And let's just read that, because I want you to know exactly where that song comes from, what it's based on. Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I've tried to base my life on that passage and that song. I've come up short some. There's no doubt about that. But that has been one of the theme passages for me throughout my life, and I hope it will be for you. And so really, when you sing that song at my funeral, it's not for my benefit. I want you to sing that song for yours. I want you to be reminded of the importance of the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that you don't forget any of the points that I've made, let me go through them one more time, very briefly. Number one, forgive me for the sins I've committed against you. Number two, I love each and every one of you. Number three, take really good care of your mother. Number four, serve the Lord faithfully, which means daily. Number five, keep your nose in God's Word. And number six, keep heaven in your sight at all times. We can get out your song, but we'll sing the song of invitation here in just a moment. Perhaps one of the thoughts we have conveyed in general in the lesson tonight is the importance of one's soul. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I know a number of people who have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who have been taught the gospel numerous times. And some of those people have gone on to be quite successful in a number of different endeavors. You know what that's going to mean in eternity? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. But what if they do that? Doesn't matter. No matter how successful. If you're not right with the Lord, it means nothing. So why not this evening take the steps necessary to make sure that your soul is right with God? Whether that means obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian or returning to the Lord as someone who has strayed away from Him. You know what the Lord's response will be. And we're prepared to help you tonight in any way that we can. If you need to respond, please come as we stand and sing.